Here's your KLAM News for this Saturday morning. Galen Catholic held its homecoming celebration yesterday, and Sydney Logan, the daughter of Rick and Tammy Logan, was crowned this year's homecoming queen, while Ethan Peters, the son of Jeff and Beth Peters, was selected as this year's Galen Catholic homecoming king. Both admitted to being surprised by being chosen for Galen Catholic's homecoming royalty.
Such a wonderful school, and I'm just really honored and blessed to be able to represent it.
Okay, and our king?
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it's pretty cool that I got the chance to be the king for Galen Catholic.
Okay. Did you kind of think that this might happen when you were back in elementary school starting in Galen, or whenever you started here?
I didn't think much of it, to be honest, besides like a week ago. I thought it was going to be Michael, but...
I was just always excited when I was little to get the opportunity to dress up, but I never would have imagined this.
At last evening's Galen Catholic homecoming football game, three local businesses contributed a total of $1,500 to Galen Catholic School. Total Motors, American Bank, and Perspective Insurance all contributed the check to Galen Catholic's Activities Director, Kirk Kronzeisel. Lamar City officials have announced the contractor for 12th Street Southwest project has started Phase 3 and will be pouring the concrete on that main section back starting on Tuesday, October 22nd. The city hopes to have 12th Street Southwest open up back by October 31st. On Monday, the city will also have to shut down part of Lincoln Street from 12th Street to the north end of Dean's property. This will allow the semi-trucks hauling milk to have a safer way of backing into the doors off of Lincoln Street, since Phase 3 will close their access on the backside of the building to where they normally can pull straight through. The Dean's employees and milk trucks will have access to Lincoln Street in front of the building from the south side of Lincoln Street through those barricades. Several volunteers will visit with senior citizens' homes today to help them in preventing falls. It's all part of what was referred to as Founders Day as part of the Good Samaritan Society's outreach program. This year, according to Teresa Petty, the Marketing and Development Director with Good Samaritan Society, the day will be known as Falls Prevention Service Project Day.
We have several youth coming in to help us from both the high schools. Some of them are coming to us from the schools organizations. We have some coming from Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, some confirmation kids. So it's really great to get them involved and see them wanting to come out and help with this project. And then we have volunteers, adult volunteers that will pair up with them. We will deliver 50 packets to seniors 65 and older in our community. And our hopes in doing this is we want to see them stay in their house as long as they can in their homes. And so one out of three seniors 65 and older fall each year, and those falls, a lot of them result in them ending up in the hospital and sometimes with us for rehab. So we just want to do what we can to help them prevent those falls.
In past years, Good Samaritan Society has distributed carbon monoxide detectors and grab bars for around a shower or stair steps to help better aid seniors with maintaining their balance. Petty explains that the volunteers this year will be presenting to the identified senior citizens a reach tool, which also allows the elderly to retrieve an object that is out of their immediate reach. Also included will be a nightlight and a file of life.
New this year, we're introducing the file of life, which is something that we really want to get out into the community through that project, as well as other events that we will host throughout the year. We want it to kind of be our new signature thing. And what the file of life is, it's a medical emergency card system where the person will fill out all of their information, their medications are on, any medical conditions, allergies, and that will go in a pouch that magnets right to their refrigerator. And then there is a decal that will go on their front door. So anytime there would be a medical emergency, we've contacted both the fire department and the EMTs, and they know to watch for that. And then they know they can go grab that life-saving information as soon as they, you know, reach that person's residence. And just those few minutes that it will save them from having to discover that information another way could save a life.
Petty says that the volunteers will gather at the nursing care facility at 9 a.m. this morning and then will be given an orientation session. Those volunteers will then go to the selected senior citizens' homes. Petty says that the entire project should conclude by 11:30 this morning. She is grateful for the sponsors of the program that include Lampert Lumber, Marvin Windows and Doors, Hardware Hank, and Thrivent Financial. Plymouth County 4-H will hold a fall festival this coming Sunday. The event will be at the Century Hall at the Plymouth County Fairgrounds, and Ann Shainrock with the Plymouth County Extension Services says that this will serve as a fundraiser for Plymouth County 4-H.
The 4-H Foundation here in Plymouth County has three main focuses on where they spend their funds at. The first one is they help clubs that are local 4-H clubs that want to do community service projects. They can apply for seed money to get that community service project started, and so our foundation will grant them money to help with those projects. The second one is that they provide scholarships to kids or any of the youth going on trips for education, like our State 4-H Conference, our CWF trip. They provide money towards that registration fee for any of our 4-H members here in Plymouth County. And then the third thing that they do is offer two scholarships to graduating 4-Hers who then are going on to college.
The 4-H staff members talks about what will be featured during Sunday's fall festival.
On Sunday, our 4-H Foundation, our local foundation, along with our county council, which is our high school youth, are hosting the Fall Frenzy Festival. And the cost to get in the door is $5 per person, and anyone four and under is free. And then once in the door, you'll be able to enjoy all kinds of games and a haunted house. We're going to have a raffle, so we have a bunch of silent auction items that you can purchase raffle tickets for. We'll also have T-shirts available to purchase. We're going to be having a Dutch oven cooking demonstration and sampling. And then just all kids and adults are encouraged to come in costume and bring decorated jack-o'-lanterns or pumpkins. And we'll have a contest for those and prizes at the end for that as well.
Shainrock says that in the past, the local 4-H program held fundraising events during the spring. She says this is the first time for an autumn event. And she says part of the reason is because 4-H is celebrated during the month of October. Shainrock says that you don't need to be a member of 4-H in order to join in on the fall festival. The event is scheduled to occur between 2 and 5 p.m. Sunday. Iowa's unemployment rate remained at 2.5% in September. Iowa Workforce Development reported on Friday that this rate did not change from August, as the number of people with and without jobs both had increased. Iowa's unemployment rate was tied for the second lowest in the country, along with the New Hampshire and North Dakota. Vermont has the lowest rate at 2.2%. That is a look at your news here on KLEM.